Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart,
I want to see you. I want to see you. That's it, brother. I love you. To see you high and lifted up. That's your desire. The light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. He's worthy, isn't he? It up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. You love him? Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see you. Amen. Man, good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading from Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to 2 Peter 1. Ephesians 1, 2 Peter 1. Now remember, the announcements has been made and everything, but the viewing for Brother Tom will be tomorrow at there in Royston. Is that it? It'll be Pruitt's funeral home. And remember, between 6 and 8 o'clock tomorrow, and then the funeral will be Friday at 12. And, you know, we really will miss Brother Tom, but, you know, we understand, too, that some of us are going to go on and go by the grave, and that's no embarrassment. It's a wonderful thing. Because he told Brother Donnie there, he said, there, I believe it was Monday, he said, I'm just about 20 feet right over there. See, that was, you know, he was looking and seeing things different. So we appreciate it. And so we just, you know, we'll have a few moments of silent prayer in just a moment when we get through with the announcements. But remember that, and remember the fellowship meeting starting Saturday, 3:30, and then we will have Brother Forney there with us, and he will be with us for the weekend. So we're asking, if you will, to everybody in your seat and area, if you will, clean up a little bit. It would help, you know, take up the books, the extra papers, the things you've got with you. Try to clean up a little bit in your area, because you probably won't be sitting there. So somebody else is going to see what you've left. So kind of clean up, and, you know, and that way we won't have to write a name and put on it, you know, and say, Brother Collie sat here, you know. But just try to clean up a little bit, and that'll help June and everything in doing for the meeting. But we're really looking forward to the weekend, you know. So Ephesians 1 and 2 Peter. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer just in honor of Brother Tom. And because we do, we appreciate him. 20-something years they've been here. I think that's right. It's on, going on up towards 30, but I know it was about 84, wasn't it? Somewhere around 84, so that would be, what, about 27, I guess, something. And but we really, you know, appreciate all the years that we've had with him. And it's like he said, you know, he and I would spend, sometimes he had a good job and he could come over, and we have talked as much as probably 6 hours out of 8, you know, just walking up and down the line with me there and everything, and hauling my breakfast, because that was the one thing everybody laughed about, that he had the only high-low in the plant that was a diesel because of the job he had to do, and they called it the 6-ton high-low. Said, there comes your breakfast. It's taking a 6-ton high-low to haul your breakfast. And he'd bring down breakfast every morning, and you know, and then he'd go do his job and come back, and we'd fellowship together. So he said one day, he said, Brother Dale, he said, talk to these other people around here. He said, because me and you've had our day. we've had our time of talking, and you know, and that was good, you know, and we did. So the Lord blesses and takes care. We just appreciate it. So let's just have a few moments of silent prayer before we go on through the rest of the service in honor of Brother Tom. He passed away this morning somewhere right about 4:30. So just remember that. I got up at 4:24 and started that away. We were there yesterday, but came on home and then started that away and got there and found out he'd passed on. But, you know, that was all right. That was, you know, I'd love to have been sitting there beside of him, but that's still all right. He's not too far away. And he's not too far away today, so that's the point. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer before we go on with the service, just in honor of the time that we've had with our brother, okay? Father, we ask you to just be with the Fawbush family, Lord, now in the time of our brother passing, and just make everybody to realize that, you know, there's a better place, and we want to go that way, Lord. And if I could have anything that I'd like to have of his, I'd like to have his eternal life right now where he's dwelling at, because that would be a wonderful opportunity. We thank you because you made all things possible. So just be comfort in the hearts to each one, Lord, and bless and guide and take care of everybody, Lord. And we ask you now to be with us tonight as we speak about you from your word, that you would come on the scene and speak to our hearts. And, Lord, just give us what you'd have for us this night. We love you and we thank you. And we commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Right. I turn over to 2 Peter, because this is going to just be the thought we'll be using tonight with this on adoption in three stages. This is message number 6. But I want you to think about something that Peter says here, and look at verse chapter 1, starting verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why? For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the word. And you'll see what I mean in a minute, because we're going to be talking about this adoption, but we're going to talk about present truth. I told you Sunday that what we'd try to do tonight is just look through the Bible and the prophet's message and try to see some promises that are specifically for us. You know, it's good when the Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed. Now, that's for everybody, right? That's for everybody, all right? Now, but when it comes on down to where you're at, see, and it says something like, you know, and that'll be one of the scriptures, we'll get to it in a minute, in Malachi, it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. All right, you remember, was it Sister Meadie that, you know, was wondering about Mary and Brother Branham, you know, and the Lord spoke to her on that scripture. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. All right. But there are things that are specific and straight to you and I. And that's what I want us to talk about. You know, as I said, other things, you know, read the Bible and you can relate with the brothers and sisters down through time that have lived those days and all like that. And but yet we are in an age and a time to bring all things to an end and to finish up. And there's a lot of scriptures and a lot of things pointing specifically down to where we are. And if you remember back not too long ago, I was preaching about the bride's book, and I said if you want to see your part of the Bible, read the book of Revelations, because that shows you the bride's part. You know, there's the book specifically speaking to us. And I was thinking, coming up the road, I thought, well, what scripture would I use to, and I don't know where I will or not, but I thought, what scripture would I use to preach Brother Tom's funeral? And I thought, well, I guess the best one would be related to him would be Revelation 6:1 about the seals, because that was what he always tried to get everybody to see, was the seals. I don't know where I'll use it or not, but I was doing it. I was looking as I coming up through there, and I saw a big billboard. It had Babe Ruth on it, you know, and it says that he went from a orphanage to inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I thought, Lord, you know, well, Brother Tom started in an orphanage, but he ain't worried about a Hall of Fame because he's in heaven now. So that's a good point. All right. Well, let's get on with it. Now, we've been trying to bring out, as I said, about adoption in three stages. And we covered, it took us quite a little bit, we covered the new birth, because we must be born again. We must come into the family of God. And, you know, and then when we're born again, then we can start a growth development and things into coming up through the stature of perfect man, etc. And, you know, we can come out to a place that the Bible speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, then we gave you there this past Wednesday the quotes, and I gave, you know, some back to you, where Brother Branham was talking about manifestation. He said, what is manifestation? He was talking about manifested sons of God, 1960, 518. And he's talking about earnest expectation. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation. See, the manifestation. What is the manifestation? Making known. See, basically everybody deals with manifestation as signs and wonders. But I went outside there Sunday afternoon after speaking a while about it, and people were coming up relating their own thoughts back to me, you know. And, you know, the word manifest, you know, is to make known. We had to go by a manifest at work. See, that was what kept us in order, and you doing your jobs and everything, you know. You've got a manifest. You've got a paperwork. It's not the work. It's a paper to show you what is to be done. Well, see, that's to me is what I've tried to get you to see, that if we make God known, see, by speaking about him from his word and trying to show him to the people, then he'll make us known with signs and wonders. So that's all I've ever tried to do, is just to speak about, you know, the things that God has made known to me, and then I try to make them known to you. I want you to see my Father. That's the one thing, you know, that I want you to see. I want you to see my Father, because that way then he'll become your Father. And, you know, and they will all have the same Father, but that's the point I'm wanting you to see. And I'm sorry to say, but that's why that a lot of people are not seeing signs and wonders, and they're questioning, and they're saying, well, you know, why is it not that things are taking place, and we've been around here all of these years, and all of this, that, and the other. Well, could it be that they haven't sowed the word down in the hearts of the people? You know, I don't want to be so hard about that, but, you know, to me, if we make him known, he can make us known. Well, maybe that's why that manifestation is not appearing among a lot of people, is because they're not making God known. And you know, and he's not honor bound. He's honor bound to his word, though. If we make his word known, he's honor bound to make us known. With the restoration of the word, the prophet said, will come the restoration of power. See? All right. He said, and he sent his word, what? And healed us. And delivered us from destruction. So then it's in the Word, see, and let's just do that. Let's try to make the Word manifest, and then you'll see what he was saying as I gave you these quotes back to you that Brother Branham said on the message, Shalom 64. He said, to manifest, to make known to the people the promises that he's made for this day. All right. Now, we're talking about present-day truth, see. We people have lived their time, and all that's well and good. But we're here wanting to know about present-day truth. In other words, what is it for you and I? Right. And that's what I want you to look at, see. He's made it, he said, to manifest the light of the day. Then when we do that, everything will be fine. Then he goes on talking about how that there's... But this is the day of the manifestation of sons of God. This is the position in Christ. Number 3 coming down on your notes. It's 1965:22, the morning service. But this is the day of the manifestation of the sons of God, when the mysteries that's been hid since the foundation of the world is to be made known. This is the hour. Sure. See? All right, I believe in miracles and signs and wonders. That's where. Don't misunderstand me, please. And we can stand here all night long and talk about it, and we have told you of the things that God has done among us, to the dead raised, the sick healed, storms spoken out of existence, rain called for and it came, people that needed salvation, it has been spoken. And you know, there's two sitting here right now that I told you before Wade came back, I said, he'll come, you know. Well, then I told Joyce one day, I said, don't worry about Danny. I said, he's coming. Well, see, it was something that you know, that you can see. And you know, and you don't want to go too far on some of the things, but when it happens, you know that it's true. So then that way we don't have to worry. God has made himself manifest among us. Amen. With signs and wonders, but I want more. Amen. I'm not satisfied. Right. We have sickness among us. We have heartaches and troubles. I want to be for the people to be delivered. I want to be delivered myself, you know. But the main thing I want is the change of this body. And I'm really jealous of Brother Tom today because, see, he's there to where I want to be, you know, and all. But, you know, now he's, you know what he's saying? How long? Right? You know, that's what he's saying. How long? In other words, how long is it going to take you bunch down there to get into it of what we've been talking about, you know, and all like that. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day. But now, listen, let's think about it. See, about being established in the present day truth. In other words, what's exactly pointing to you and I? Right. Scriptures, quotes from the prophet that are pointing to here, not just an overall view, you know, not just meaning for everybody. But you remember how I tried to bring it, that the prophet of God said in the church age book there, that it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. That's right. We come by foreknowledge, all right? Now, but it's the word or seed. See? So then there was a word or seed, and I gave you some quotes on that because I've already given them to you before, of where there's a word or seed for each age. That's right. Now, the just shall live by faith was a predestinated seed. There was no way that was not going to come to pass. You agree? I mean, there it was. It had to come to pass. It was in God's Word. Well, all right. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I want us to see what's in the Word for you and me. That's predestinated eternally and will take place. Now, if we want to be a part of it, see, we can make our choice. But if we don't want to be a part of it, then, you know, but I've got one in here somewhere, Brother Brown said, and if it's right, he said, let's go for it, in other words. He said, but if it ain't, let's get away from it. You know, so that's a good way to be, all right? But see, it's the seed or word that comes predestinated eternally. The other is dealing by foreknowledge of where the seed or word will land in each one of us. Well, then I believe, and I told you that, I believe the scripture is talking about change in a moment, twinkle of an eye. I believe somebody is living right now in a body, you know, human body, that's predestinated, that it's going to be changed. All right, now I believe that. I believe somebody's living in a body, and I've contended I'm one of them, that's living in a body that's predestinated. Not just by foreknowledge now. But predestinated to be the very, and everybody, Paul, when he comes up, he's going to come up in the body he lived in. You know, we know that. All right? But he wasn't, see, that was under, still under the body, was dealing with foreknowledge. But we're in the day when somebody's going to say, death, you're annihilated. Walk right into eternal life while we're right here. Not have to go up to heaven somewhere and find it. But while we're right here, just walk right into it. And doing that, then wouldn't it be that that's a predestinated seed? Because that way, time and eternity meets here. Time and eternity don't meet in heaven. No, time and eternity meets right here. And that's why that we're in the Romans there of and we'll get back to it in a minute, you know, of saying that the whole world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right? Waiting on them to make God known, and then he'll make them known. See? That's the whole key. Now, you think I don't believe in signs and wonders, you're all messed up. Because I've seen too much. You know, I've seen too many things. You know, if they're not want to believe in miracles and things, because that's, you know, I just believe it. But the end of all things, according to Peter, I think it's 1 Peter 4 and 7, but he's talking about like the end of all things. All right? See, now, when you come to the end of all things, the prophet would say he saved the best to last. That's why it says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Why? Because it's all dependent upon the last part. All right? Everything's waiting on you and I. See? And it's the age we're living. Right. And we've got to believe it. That's right. See? Now, if you've ever been healed, you know what I'm talking about. That one minute you're standing there and you don't know. And you're believing. And you're trying to, as we call it, muster up enough faith to believe. But then something just comes down and speaks to you. Well, it just don't make no difference. Brother Tom came in one morning down at work. We'd always meet in a break area. And he came in one morning and he said, I'm putting blood through my, I think it was his bowels that time, I'm not certain. But anyhow, I said, I'm putting blood through. And he said, I'm leaving now, going to the hospital. And so we just gathered and we prayed. Well, he went to the hospital, stayed over a week, and they never did find out what was wrong with him. Why? Because God took it away from him, you know. And we believe it because that it is God's word. All right. Now, I'm saying this. Let's see, how was it Brother Rand said on Calvary? Was, in other words, the biggest portion of the Old Testament, more of the Old Testament was fulfilled in the last few hours, somewhere close to that verbatim quote, than there was of the rest of the Scriptures. Because that's what everything pointed was to Calvary. All right? Now, I believe everything in the Bible is pointing to you and I. Now, I believe that. So then we got a Bible to fulfill. We've got a word to be fulfilled. It's not just going to church and being good and believe the prophet's message and help the widows and orphans and all of the, and all that's well and good. But to recognize the prophet preached a message called what? Recognizing your day and its message. All right. Now, to recognize the message is the only way we'll know our day, right? But he titled it Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. See? The message of the day declares where you and I are at. Right? See, but people will say, but it, you know, why are we not seeing? Because we're doubting what God has done. We're not taking what God has said and believing it. See? Brother Brown said, one person get healed. He said, in order to throw the entire church into desperation. Right? Why? Because we're to believe it. We're to believe for me. Because it's not sent. See? Healing is sent for everybody. But there's a word in this age for you and I to fulfill. All right? And it's the end of all things. See? All right? And that's why I wanted to say it like present day truth. Not yesterday's truth. That's wonderful. But present day, today. Today is the day of salvation. All right? And see, then that way we can watch it as it unfolds to see our day. And what we're seeing through the scriptures. Yeah. All right? That's for this day. All right? Now, so let's just take a few, and then we'll get a few of what the prophet has to say about it. But everybody knows, let's just start off with it. Let's start off with Malachi 4. It's a good place to start. See? All right? See? And watch verse 2. Well, let's go verse 1. For behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you, see, you here, over here today now, see, that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now, what was that? The prophet said that was a divine healing campaign that went out. All right? Now, I'll be glad to show you these, or we'll sit down with the computer and run them up for you. But he said that was the Son of Righteousness rising with healing. He said it was a healing campaign. Well, that happened. Right? See, that took place till all mankind believes in it. They just, like we was talking last night, they just don't believe in the message the man brought. They believe in all of the signs and wonders. And, all right? And watch. With healings in his wings, and ye, me, see, shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. All right? The message is going to come. You feed calf in the stall, stored up food. Right? Because you're wanting them to fatten up. And ye, what, shall tread down the wicked, for there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Now, each one of these, I didn't do it for this message, but each one of these, I've got a circle around it where it says ye and where it says your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, because all of the word of the Old Testament spoke of the coming of Elijah. You say, well, no, I spoke of it. Well, you don't get what I'm meaning. Elijah to coming here, which would be the last one of the Old Testament, would be John the Baptist, right? All right. See, then everything was pointing to that. If he didn't come forth, then nothing wasn't right before then. True? But if he came forth, it meant everything back there was right. All preceding, every prophet had to line up with the next prophet, right? Everything had to line up together. All right? So then that's what he's saying. Remember ye the law of Moses. I wrote this in my Bible. All words speaks of Malachi 4. All the Old Testament spoke of Malachi 4. Then all the New Testament speak of Malachi 4. 5. You know, coming on down, right? Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. In other words, stay with my word and I'll back it up. Right? God is not over the sea. He's not up in heaven. Was that what Moses said? He was trying to get the people to see a present tense God, right? For themselves, not just for him. Right? See, that's what all the prophets were doing. Right? But look, behold, I will send you. See? Let's read that this way. Let's read it together, all right? Behold. Come on, read with me. Say it with me, okay? Behold, I will send you. Now, you're saying that to me, and I'm saying it to you. Right? See? Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's a promise in the Bible then. Now they're coming before their great and dreadful day. See? That's not John the Baptist. So that was promised to be in the end time, right? All right. Now, was there any way to stop that? Now, you know the devil done everything he could to try to do it. Now, we can go on with to turn the hearts of the hearts of the children to their fathers, showing what would happen and coming down. But it's pointing down to this day. Right? That's speaking of this day. Now, we could say with each one of these scriptures, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now, we have had the message of the hour, right? We've had the prophet to come and bring us the message, right?
Amen.
All right. So now, what is it? It's left up to the people to take the message and to make the message alive in a group of people. All right? So that's the present day truth. All right? Yeah. Are you with me now? All right, let's go over then. Everybody knows these scriptures. But let's go over in 1 Thessalonians. Everybody knows the scriptures we're using, but let's just read them, see? And think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. Now watch. This is pointing here. Do you understand my point? It's reading scriptures, it points to this day. All right? Not another day now, because we believe that. But to recognize your day and its message. We recognize the message, but what about the day? See? All right? For this we say unto you, who now? By the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, Paul was prophesying, right? Because Paul is not here. See? But he was speaking it as far as he saw it, it was there. But he was pointing down, you remember? In the book of Hebrews, he was trying his best to get out of the people that God was coming right then. See? And that's what we ought to realize, what he's saying. See? And we which are alive and remain. Now, he's not here. So that's a prophecy. Speaking of someone that will come and make that manifest. All right? Since for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What is that? The message. Right? Is that the way the prophet explained it? The shout's the message. Have we had the message?
Amen.
Uh-huh. So we've had the message, all right? Heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And he said the same loud voice that raised Lazarus from the dead will speak again in the end time.
Amen.
Where from? His bride. Come on. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right. Now, Paul didn't fulfill that. But somebody will. Somebody will do it. All right. Let's go. I got one here. I jumped over it, but excuse me. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a great. Of course, all of them's great scriptures, but you know where you get in Matthew 24. But look at 24:14. This is under the fifth seal, right? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now, I know what Brother Branham said. In the days of Paul and them, and the gospel was preached to the whole world. Right. I know that. See, so don't just say, well, no, you just don't understand. That's done been done. No, but it's got to be done here. Right? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We stopped to get a bite to eat there today, and this girl, she said, fixing the thing, and she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you believe the world's going to end tomorrow? She said, they're saying it's going to end tomorrow. I said, no, ma'am. You don't have to worry about the world ending tomorrow. Because I didn't have time to explain there's got to be 3.5 years after the rapture, and I'm still here, so that, you know, I mean, I didn't want to go into all that, but I just said, no, ma'am, the world's not going to end tomorrow. I said, they're saying all this that the calendar, or what it is, the Mayan, or what something calendar, only went to 2012, so they figured it's all over with. But I said, there's one thing about it, though. There will be a day when it will come to an end. You know? See, there will be a day. All right? So there'll be a day that that's fulfilled. Well, that day can't be fulfilled now. See, somebody tells you, I got a thing, and I wasn't supposed to open it. He wrote on it, not to open it till May the 25th, but I didn't care anyway. But this brother up in Canada, he sent me a message before, and he said, if I'm a believer, I'll really attach on to this and tell my people about it. Well, I'm going to tell you then what he said. He says that the redemption's over. Nobody can be saved anymore. It's all finished. The seed planting is done. We're in the time of the ingathering of the harvest. And, you know, coming up in, what is it, October, long in there, is the Feast of the Ingatherings, et cetera, you know, whatever. But anyhow, I don't remember the exact date. Maybe my wife can tell me. But he put in there that they're going to have these meetings. And he said the dead has already started or begins to appear among us. And they're going to cause great mass confusion because they're gathering, you know, appearing around the world and everything. And he said, now make sure you come to this meeting in Canada because that's the end gathering. I assumed that he meant that must be the going away, because if the dead's already raised and everything. So he told me to tell you. So now if you want to get the paperwork, I'll give it to you and you can go to Canada. And I mean Washington, excuse me. Washington, not Canada. He's from Canada, but it's Washington is supposed to appear. But anyhow, so I told you about it. You can't argue about that point. But I'm not packing up. I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm just going to kind of bite it out and just, you know, believe in all like that, because, you know, I'm not concerned, because if the dead raises, it's going to be among us, and I ain't going to be worried about it, because I'm going to be established in the present-day truth. All these predictions, et cetera, et cetera. He did say, he said, if it don't come to pass, he said, you'll know it. So, well, that's a good point. We'll know it. You know. But anyhow, I'm not making light of the person, because, you know, they get those things in their mind and they get all of this and that and the other. But that's what I was saying a moment ago. Instead of taking the word and settling down and trying to preach the word to the people, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year, they just run with this and run with that. Well, they got a whole lot more following, you know, because everybody wants those little things, you know, to do something, you know, they want to do. It's like if I'd have probably told that girl, I'd say, yep, the world's going to end tomorrow. You better be in church tonight over here with us. You know, well, she might have come, but I didn't intend to encourage her or discourage her. But now listen. Let's get off of that. I'm trying to talk about something present tense. All right. Let's go to, but while you're there, have you ever, now we read, let me say this. I'm trying to do present day. We read Thessalonians, right? All right. We read that scripture. And we read it, we're called up to meet the hour for comfort one another with these words. But have you ever read the fifth chapter? Let's just keep reading down through. Fifth chapter, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, he's trying to get it out of their mind. It's going to take place back there. Right? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, isn't that around the world today? Oh, everything's okay. Yeah, yeah. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them that travail, upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. And listen. That day should overtake you as a thief. You're supposed to be programmed, you know, in the gospel. Right? You're children of darkness. Oh, I didn't read that right, did I? Children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. All right. See, we read the fourth chapter, but we don't read on down that he's telling us it's not going to be here. It's going to be in the end time. See, we're in the end time. Everybody says that until, of course, you go up to people, you know what I mean? You do it. You talk to somebody and they say, oh, the end of the world's coming. Like I'd have said to that girl, if I'd have said to her, you know, I said, yeah, that's right. End of the world's here. Yeah, it is. You know what she'd probably said? Now, nobody knows the day nor the hour. See, they believe it until you telling them it's coming now. They want it about 40 years down the road. That would make me 111. So I don't have to worry about it. Right? Everybody wants to put it off. But see, I'm talking about something now. Look in 1 Corinthians. That's a scripture we all use. 1 Corinthians 15. If I can get my Bible to cooperate. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Again, Paul is putting it like it's going to be in his time because he's using the phrase we. But he's saying it's not going to be. Right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then is brought to pass the saying, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? All right. Now, that has not taken place. Right? Now, see, even if the dead appeared among us right now, we've not all changed. So there's things pointing to specific dates and times that will be dates and times. They were not supposed to be worried about it, but it will be a certain date or time, won't it? We're just not concerned, see? Because we're not concerned with dates and things, but we're concerned with the scriptures being fulfilled. See, that scripture is speaking to you and I, that's for us. We've got to fulfill this scripture. See? All right? And if we don't fulfill this scripture, see, the dead can't raise. Right? If we don't fulfill the scriptures of Thessalonians coming over with a shout and the voice, this scripture can't be made manifest. And even if we fulfilled, do you understand what I'm saying? If we fulfill Thessalonians and realize the shout, And the dead would raise. we've still got to be, we would still have a frame of time dealing with to the point that we wouldn't be changed. Because the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we'll be changed. See? That's why you'd say to me, Brother Dale, when you think the end of the world's coming? No, it can't come for 3.5 years. You sure? Yeah. Why? Because it's 3.5 years after the rapture. And we're still here. Right? Well, we not be going. Well, you go ahead and doubt all you want to. You know, because I believe I know what it is. You know, the change and the things, all right? And that's what I'm just saying, see? So it don't bother me, predictions. The girl, she said, when I first heard that, I said, I'm just scared. Well, if you know where you're at, you're not scared. I ain't worried about it. See? All right? But now, get to point, see? Scripture's pointing to where we're at. Now we're back into Romans 8. See? Right? To see what the world is waiting for. To see what is related to all of these changes in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, Lord descending from heaven with a shout, voice of archangel, trumpet, etc. All of that is dependent upon somebody and recognizing who they are. Right? Because that's what Paul said. Paul says here in Romans what? Verse 19, 8 and 19. For this earnest expectation of the creature, or the whole creation, in other words, waiteth for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, in other words, he was put down under all of this problem, not willingly, not of his own, in other words, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. One of these days, all of this is going to be changed, right? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So what is dependent, what is it all dependent upon? See? A fulfillment of Scripture. See? It's dependent upon you and I. All right? We believe that we are the children of God, don't we? We believe we're the sons and daughters of the living God. Well, then the whole world is waiting on you and I to recognize who we are and to step out on it and quit playing around. You know, we were talking about this last night, down at when Brother Tom was laying there, and I remember somebody said, well, you know, he ain't saying nothing, but he's listening. And he's saying, come on, you know, come on. Because we're talking about what he loved to talk about. If you're ever around Brother Tom very long, you're going to hear something about Daniel 70 weeks or the seals or something, right? We may have not agreed with his approach to go out to the world and just grab somebody in a Waffle House and set them down and buy them a dinner and talk to them for as long as they'll sit there about the seals. We might not have agreed with that, but there's one thing about it. What was we doing? Oh, we're so spiritual. We don't do it like that. Where was we at? Oh, changes things, don't it? It's not throwing off. I tried to tell him. I said, Brother Tom, you can't tell the world about these things. But you know what? There's one sitting right back there that'll tell you that while he was holding that thing over him and all, and he was doing weightlifting, and Brother Gary made the wrong mistake while he was doing the weightlifting with the big bars. He said, you know any place to go to church? He couldn't move. Because all he had to do was drop the weights. And he did. He dropped the weight of where to go. Well, all right. So that's the point. But now, do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, my point is that there's scripture for you and I to fulfill. There are still scriptures to be fulfilled. Now, when we get out of here, God is going to Israel, right? You know, that scripture, that's not fulfilled. So when he goes to Israel and they receive the gospel, they can say, this is present tense truth to us. Agree? But see, when are we going to realize that this message is made alive in you and I and is present tense? The truth. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Don't you believe we're in the end of the time? Don't you believe that we've already in the process of the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout, the message? Don't you believe those things? See? All right. Then the dead is waiting on you and I, right? How about Hebrews 11:40? They without us? All those warriors of faith, the dead raised, the sick healed, lions killed, giants killed, all kind of the whole Hebrews 11. And he summed it up by saying, they without us cannot be made perfect. Well, see, then the Bible's right. They're groaning, waiting on you and I. Waiting on you and I. That's hard to think about, isn't it? And then we let the devil be a good little buddy with us, you know, and talk us out of even thinking it's for us. Oh, yeah, it's for sure. Yeah, I agree now. I believe that Bible, right. But you're just not the person. Well, hang around. You know, I'm talking to him. See? Hang around. Because you told the Lord Jesus that he wasn't that person. But one day he proved it. And you can't argue with him no more. You know it. I'm talking to Satan. See? He can't argue because he knows what he's done. Brother Brown said he believes him to be Hebrews 13:8 a whole lot more than you and I do. All right. But now, they without us cannot come to a completion. See, we spend a lot of time, and that's all right. I do too now. I've done it too. We're talking about the word perfect and what it means and how it doesn't mean what we used to think it meant. All that's fine. But do we go on to say that they can't be complete without us? Do we see the key? Without us, they can't be made complete. We don't talk about the us, see? We only talk about the things of how something is perfect or what it means. But they without us cannot be made perfect. All right. What about what your prophet had to say? All right. So we must depend upon what he would be saying. Now, I gave you some quotes where he was talking about the word for each age. And you got those, like Christ identified the same, 1964, 415. He's talking about the word for the age. When that word is ready to be manifested, now watch. He said, you have to take my word. When the word is ready to be manifested, God sends down a prophet to reveal the word. All right. We believe God sent a prophet to reveal the word. Now, he said one day that that prophet would be pointing to the skies to a word-born bride. That's what he's going to be pointing at. He was pointing those things to you and I. But do you believe what he's saying? Read all them I gave you, the word for each age. We talk about amorphy. It's why we're not oneness, because oneness believed Jesus was the last amorphy of God. All right. Now, but we believe the bride is the last amorphy of the Gentile dispensation. Then he goes to Israel, and they'll be the last amorphy. You know, but we believe the truth. So I gave you a quote there, and who is this? Melchizedek, 1965, 221. Says, what a glorious thing, God amorphy, mask in a pillar of fire. God amorphy in a man called Jesus. God amorphy in his church. God above us. God with us. God in us. the condescending of God. Then he goes on down, and it's the last part of that. He says that was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit, not the third person, the same person. Okay. Now what does that do then? Look at God's only provided place of worship, 1965, 11, 28, the morning service, paragraph 264. He says, no leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Now there's a good old devil. Yeah, but we all got leaven. So it'll never happen. If God promised it, it will. Forget about the rest of it. All right. He said it couldn't happen in Luther's age. Why? Because it's to be fulfilled in this age. Couldn't happen in Wesley's days. Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together now. Listen to him. The church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs and manifestations that he did at the beginning. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Christ the mystery of God revealed, 1963, 728, page 56. And in there, there'd be a time come forth when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead deity through his church. Have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam coming back with the anointing of the word because he said, my word is spirit and life. Right? Message called Pardoned. Preached in 1963, Tucson, Arizona, 10:28. He's talking about eternal life and the Holy Spirit resting within you and bringing forth the life. He said, God is waiting the hour to see his church come to that position. Regardless of denomination, regardless of creed, color, whatever it may be, that his entire church would come to the place that they're displaying the token of the death of Jesus Christ. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, 1963, 728, page 25. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminence. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was is poured into the church. The believer, not the denomination. He said, we'll get to that in a few minutes and show you. We have seen his star, 1963, 12:6. When Christ Jesus was being formed, now listen, because when Brother Brown said, he said, when the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one, and the other things, he said, them denominations will swing together. All right? So now watch him. This reading I gave you this. When Christ Jesus was being formed in Mary, that's when the persecution set in. That's right. So I thought that's what it wanted to be formed in you and I. That's when her persecution started, and it's the same thing in you. Galatians 1 or Galatians 4:19 says that when Christ, the hope of glory, formed in you, Christ is being formed in you. When you are dying and Christ is coming to life, watch the persecution set in. Watch trouble start on every hand. Watch the devil go on a rampage, certainly, when Christ is being formed in you. Mighty God Unveiled, 1964, 6:29. Then it was God. In then days it was God in man, his Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, ordinary human. It was God in Christ. God in a man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in man. Now it's God in men. See, the fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Okay? When are we going to believe it? I like this one, the reason I just picked it out. We have seen his star, 1963, 12:16. He's talking about the babies formed for a long time, along in the womb. But this is coming the last days, when the completeness, when the fullness of the Godhead, when the fullness of Christ is to be manifested among his people. He said so. He promised it in his word. You believe it? Do you believe it? The bride becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, God is not complete without you. A scripture, a time, a day, an hour for you and I to believe who we are. We talk about adoption. But everybody wants to look at, well, where's the signs and wonders? Well, open your eyes. Wake up and believe. But the greatest sign and wonder is for the word of God to be opened, because Satan can impersonate all of the gifts and the signs and wonders, right? Brother Brown said he can pass out supernatural gifts. See? We always thought God was the only one who could do it. He said Satan could. But said he can't be the Word. He said he can't be the Word. He said, I wish I could do like some of these other brothers. He told one of them, you know, I forgot who it was. Might have been T.L. Osborne, but I'm not certain. He said, just go sit down under that old oak tree, Brother Bosworth. And he said, he has really done it. He said, because he goes out and said he just stands right there with the word. And he said he just lays it down and said Satan can't argue with the word. But see, it's when we believe. All right? Now, Jesus went through a lot of things, right? But then one day he sat down. He read a scripture, and he said, I am. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Right? You know? I believe we're in a day when we can say, this day, a lot of these scriptures that we've spoken of have been fulfilled. And we're in the process of more being fulfilled. Don't worry about exhausting the word. It can't be done. See? Just get into it, study it, pray, and believe. See? Because as I said to start with, and what I did there Sunday afternoon, the word manifest is to make known. What do you think we're talking about? You make him known, he will come with signs and wonders and make you known. Brother Branham made God known. You agree? That's why he would not allow, he used to allow people to preach and he would come behind them and just pray for the sick. But he stopped doing it. See, because it had to be a message. He couldn't trust nobody else to bring it. So he preached his own message. And then the signs and wonders took place. See? When we preach Jesus Christ and the truth of it, you don't have to worry about it. He'll make you manifest. And whatever, what other manifestation would you want than to be able to stand and say, I've tried to make my Father known. I got internet a while ago, a man, he's talking about, said he really appreciated the Godhead series. And he come down through, and he said, it really helped me. And he said like this, he said, and when I heard that River Jordan, he said, my heart just didn't agree with it. Well, that's wonderful. You know, if it's just one person. If all Brother Tom has is Brother Gary on the other side, if that's all he has to present to Christ,
amen,
he still has a wonderful, you know, a wonderful presentation to give to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If all we have is one person on the internet that hears it and they catch the truth and believes it, it's worth it.
Right.
See, I'm just trying to make my Father known. I love to talk about my Father. You know? And making my Father known to you is what I desire to do. Then what he does back in return, he doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe you and I anything in the world. We owe him everything. Brother Branham said, if he never heals another person, I'll still say he's a healer. What do you think about it? Scriptures specifically stating about you and me. Find yourself in the Bible. And if nothing else, at least we gave you four or five scriptures pertaining exactly to you and I. How much more can you come up with to show where we're at? And to make him known. I can't heal anybody. You can't heal anybody. You can't do a miracle. I can't do a miracle. But we can make our Father known. And then we can depend on him. Because he promised it. You know, I like that. Let's stand. Come on, brother. I like that, don't you? He made the promises. Let's sing that. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Sing it again. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. And every promise in the book. That's the key of S, which means Sam. All right. So, you know. But just think about it. Singing from the heart and believing. The book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. You have a need? Healing is yours. The Bible said, by stripes I am healed. Let me just say what he says. Every promise in the book is mine. Now, what would we have?
Yeah. And then let's turn to 5:10. Thank you, Lord, for saving
us. Amen. 5:10. Mm-hmm. You believe it? Scriptures for you to fulfill that nobody else will ever be able to do.
Thank you,
Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank for giving to me thy great grace. salvation so full. Sing it unto Him. Thank you, Lord, for saving. Do you ever do that? I tell Him every day, I say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for calling me to the Word. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. Just thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy grace. Our sister has a testimony she wants to give.
I will just like to share with everybody what happened to me yesterday. I was at my friend's house, and it was probably about 8:30 last night. And one of our friends went outside and saw the light in my car was on. So I thought, you know, Nala went out to the car and then closed the door back properly. So I didn't think anything about it. I just went back, closed the door, and came back inside. So then she said, you know, there are lights on in the other cars. So I said, okay, well, that don't sound too right. 3-4 cars outside and the lights on, somebody, you know, went in there. So I went, and then I noticed that my car looked ransacked. You know, now the book bag was emptied out. My handbag was halfway emptied out. And my wallet was missing. So I looked through this front seat because it was really messed up. So I looked through the front seat to see if it was misplaced or anything, and I didn't see anything. So I went back inside and I told my friend what happened, and you know, everybody was, oh, blah, 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 helter skelter and everything. So, and something just came over me and said, don't worry. And so I went inside. I tried to calculate how much cards I have to cancel. And, you know, I went on the computers to try to get numbers and stuff. And Nala was sitting there. Nala was like, Mommy, what are we going to do? I said, he said, don't worry. So this was about 30 minutes after somebody told me to go to the car. When I got there, my wallet was sitting right there. I looked for it. I didn't see it. But it was there. It may not mean a lot for anybody, but it did mean a lot for me.
Amen.
And everything was intact. Amen. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. 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 That's believing God. And when He tells you, then you believe it. We was talking about last night, if Brother Branham said if God told him George Washington was going to raise, he'd invite the world. I told you about it, and I was telling them, you know, I told my wife something was going to happen one day, and she said, it won't happen. I said, honey, if it don't happen, I won't preach no more. Well, you know, she said, well, you've preached your last sermon, because it ain't going to take place. Well, you know what, I was on her side, as far as naturally, because I was a human being, I wouldn't believe it'd take place either, but the Lord told me it'd take place. And it took place. So then we don't worry about it. Just tell what God tells you. I'll say this, and it's with all love and respect to Brother Tom. But when Brother Tom went in the nursing home, I told my wife, I said, he'll never come out. She knows that. I said, he'll never come out of the nursing home. Why? Because he told me. I said, well, why did he tell you that? Right? Well, I don't know. He told me Sister Maloney would never be healed. I can't. You can't operate gifts and things. It's not for you to do. And what? And you come to me and you say, well, Brother Dale, tell me. I can't tell you something until God tells me. Nobody could. Brother Branham couldn't do that until God told him. Jesus said, I do nothing until my Father shows me. See? But yet, God is with us. I'm trying to get you to see that. We were discussing something. I'll bring it out in the next message when I preach, you know, about adoption. See, we're missing it. We're missing that something is taking place. And by not seeing what's taking place, we wind up doubting God. Well, Sister Gabriel, somebody stole her pocketbook. We asked for it to be returned, and it came back. No problems. Brother Colley, standing here preaching years ago, you know the story. And somebody broke in his house and stole his guns. I told him, I said, and guns coming back. Well, they came back. Well, that was just an accident. Well, all right. I have no problems. They come back. I don't worry about it. But you see, we don't believe. Yes, sir. Exactly. Exactly. Brother Gary, same thing. They had done taking it and already making charges and doing that to come back. See, he's doing things among us. But we've got to believe it. We've got to believe what he's doing. He's here to manifest himself. We're the ones that's hindering him. See? All right. Think on these things. Just believe God is real. He's wanting to manifest himself more and more. Let's believe it. Right. Amen. Anybody else before we go?
A man that I work with is a fellow truck driver. He showed up to work yesterday morning. We're on his way to work. He stopped in to get some coffee across the road from the plant. And he walked inside and left his pickup running. And somebody stole it, his pickup truck. And he reported to the police and all, but his cell phone and everything was in there. And it turned up again last night. They found that his truck was a few miles from the plant. I told him today, I said, I've been praying for you all day about the truck. Yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe what God is trying to do, don't you?
Amen.
He's trying to make himself manifest. What a wonderful Savior. Anybody else before we go? Just remember now, there will be viewing tomorrow night between 6 and 8, and then the funeral will be Friday, 12 o'clock. Okay? So just pray for the Lord would be with the family and take care of everything, make everybody, you know, in the right attitude and lines and everything to where all will be well, because we thank God for an opportunity to have known our brother when I got there this morning, and they didn't tell me. They were just standing there looking, and I just walked on in. I knew he was already gone. And, you know, but I said, thank you, Lord. And one more, that we'll be able to put a picture on the wall that we can look at and say, this is what he'll look like when he raises. Because we believe that, right? Amen. Just pray one for another. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the word. We believe your word. And we believe that you sent your word and you healed us and you delivered us from destruction. Now just go with us, Lord, as we go our natural way, going home. Take care of everybody, Lord, and just let your light shine with each one of us. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And keep us blessed, Lord, the Fawbush family and the death of our brother, our Lord. And just let them all to see that you don't do anything wrong. All things are well. We love you and we thank you. We commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismissed.